and move into that. Brother Noe, Brother Scott, why don't you guys take the plates and let's gather an offering tonight. Let's worship the Lord with our giving. And why don't we just continue in this atmosphere of praise and worship here for a moment. Hallelujah. Ah, what a mighty God. Ah, what a mighty God. We go down to the graveyard, but we don't go down like the world goes. Ah, hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. We bury our loved ones, but we don't bury them like the world does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a promise in the house. There's a promise in the life. There's a promise in the word. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
Ah, hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, you're amazing. You're amazing, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory
I stand
to God.
Amazed at your
glory
power.
To God. Glory to God.
Amazing.
Ah, we magnify
so
you. We bless you. We praise you, oh God.
I stand amazed.
Blessed be the name above every name.
Glory.
Praise God. Praise God. We're going to be in revival this weekend on Sunday morning and Sunday evening with Brother Daniel Blash. He's a PhD, runs his own family practice in St. Louis, but he also pastors a church there. You will absolutely be blessed. I've only just met him this year at Challenge Week over in Sacramento, but I knew when I first heard him begin to minister, I thought we need to have him over here. Brother Miles Young told him that he would hurt himself at this church, and there's a good chance that he will. So we want to come. There are flyers in the foyer, and you want to make sure you invite somebody to come to the house for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Now, if Brother Joe, in fact, passes here because he has befuddled them before, and so if he, in fact, goes over this evening, this being Wednesday, I'm thinking we'll probably have a memorial for him perhaps on Saturday. Not sure about that. It's going to be absolutely up to the family. But we'll have a memorial here. There will not be a wake per se with a casket and all. We'll just have floral arrangements and a picture. And we'll probably have a memorial like that, and some nice worship music, and a good gathering of prayer, and we'll open the book and preach about the faith and the gospel that that Brother Joe has loved and has walked in for with us 26 years, and for probably 5 or 6 years before that. So we'll let you know. We'll post it on the church website or the church Facebook, or somebody will let you know what we're doing there on that. So praise God. Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to open the book tonight. And in the face of the enemy and death and the plight of the flesh, we open the book and we call on his name once more, and we stand unafraid in the midst of it all and say, yeah, we are in a mortal world and we fight the same battles the world fights, but we stand in victory because thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody say, I've got the victory. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, do you have the victory? The old timers used to ask that to me all the time. It's kind of a comprehensive thing. Do you have the victory? But it just means, are you all together in your experience in God? Are you prayed up and prayed through? And is it a well of living water pouring through you? Or is it a stagnant pool? You need to make sure you've got a current experience. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Everyone say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, as we go into this sixth chapter, as we make our way through the New Testament and now through the book of Ephesians, we're going to deal with spiritual warfare here and talk about the components of spiritual warfare and some of the dynamics of the Spirit as we make our way through. But let's continue in a vein that we begin to talk about on Sunday morning. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. As you're seated tonight, let's give Him praise and thanks for His word that is forever settled in the heavens. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory, glory, glory. I magnify You, Lord. I praise You, Lord. There are a lot of reasons why this becomes a very important conversation, but one of those reasons is because we are fleshly and we are by our senses tied to everything around us. And because of that, it is easy for us to fall into the misconception of reliance upon natural things. Reliance upon things that are important in the natural but don't mean anything to God, because He can take a sack lunch and feed a multitude, and He can make a way where there is no way, and a man with a stick can reach out over the ocean and the open ocean opens to make a way for the people of God. So it doesn't matter what's in your hand as long as your hand is yielded to the things of God. And so then out on the edge of the calling of the Spirit and the flow of the kingdom of God, we understand that the natural circumstance does not define us, but rather we are defined by the principles of the Word of God. And so then we talk about essential things or important things. And for us, it has to be a mindset and a guiding philosophy that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, in the story of David and Saul and Goliath, it is interesting. Next time you read that, just follow through and understand that the emphasis all the way through is on how Saul is head and shoulders above all of Israel. Saul is tall, and Goliath is taller than everybody and bigger than everybody. And David is smaller than everybody. And that's on purpose. God wove that into the story just like that to tell you it doesn't matter that you are tall in the eyes of men, or you are big in a natural way or a physical way, or your bank account is just right, because you have to watch. You'll begin to identify and define your capacity to fulfill the vision of God in your life by natural things. And that stinks as a spiritual philosophy. Let me run that by you again. You cannot define your capacity to achieve the vision of God by your natural circumstance. I know what God has said, but I don't have. I know what God has promised, but I don't have. I know what God said in His word, but these things are against. And you begin to enumerate all the things that are against you rather than the things that are for you. If God be for us, let me tell you, that is enough. If God is for us, who can stand against us? Well, praise God. Anybody guilty of counting all the negatives? Count the curses, count them one by one. Count the curses, see what Satan has done. No, count your blessings, count the good things, count the word of God, count the things that matter, because I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. One man can stand against an army if he stands in the power of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, don't do it violently, but shake your neighbor a little bit and say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because that changes everything. Anybody here ever had an outcome that didn't make any rational sense? Anybody here ever had an outcome that wasn't logical or reasonable and it suspended natural law? Brother Ronnie, you're sitting here as evidence tonight. What do you call it? Multiple myeloma? Lesions on the brain, cancer in the blood, relatives dying from the same thing, but not you. Because God writes the story. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. God writes the story, and the story isn't over until God says that it's over. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, we've gone down to the graveyard with some folks, but we've had some miracles too. It's always concerning the will and the purpose and the desire of God, and we are relaxed in that. And we're relaxed. Job was relaxing that. If I live or if I die, he said, God is to be blessed. So that whether I'm in natural good fortune or if I'm in natural collapse, it doesn't matter. God is yet to be blessed. And so as a guiding philosophy, we kind of get out on the crest of this wave of the leading edge of the kingdom of God. And it's a scary place if you're oriented toward the natural. Because God can take you some places. Paul's going to stand on the deck of a ship that he knows is going down. The sailors know it's going down. And everybody is afraid. But he said, don't be afraid. Tonight, I saw the angel of the Lord. I heard the voice of God. He's the God that I belong to. He's the God that I serve. And he just told me not any of us are going to die. We are going to lose the ship, though. And they did wash up like a bunch of bedraggled sea urchins on the beach there on the shore. And then Paul tries to build a little fire and a snake latches onto his hand. So if you're looking at things in the natural, sometimes it just piles up and you just don't know what to do. But he knows that God is on his side. So even if I tonight step through the veil and I lose my natural body, I know that I'm going to walk into the embrace of a God that lives forever. Do you know that tonight? Is that front and center in your thinking? So this has to be a mindset. And in this, that we walk in the Spirit, Paul teaches the church that as you walk in the Spirit and you capitalize on this and you understand this, that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is not just a shout on a Sunday night. This is applied living for God on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Thursday morning. This is how we live for God. We live filled up with the Spirit. So you can't just come in here and touch base. I am so sorry. Hello. Hello. Hey, Caleb. Not right now. But I'm coming. Okay. Okay. I'll talk to him about it. All right. Love y'all. Bye-bye. Sorry about that. I don't normally do this, but this is an extraordinary evening. Somebody's going over to the other side. People are thinking about what do they need to do and what do I need to do? Praise God. Are you okay? I feel victory in the house. I really do. Praise God. Praise God. Be a lot of happy preachers over on the other side. Joe, he has cooked for so many preachers. Praise God. So as you are walking in this as a guiding philosophy, and as you're walking in this as an understanding that conforms to the kingdom of God and denies all the natural things around you, it is absolutely necessary that you do more then walk into church on a Sunday morning and touch home plate and say, all right, I've got what I need. Because this is something that you can't live like this with just a Sunday morning touch or a Sunday night touch. And as you're first coming in, you can ride on the strength of the church. Because most people get the Holy Ghost in the atmosphere of other people praying, and most people find their strength in the atmosphere of other people praying, but you can't survive like that. There's going to come a time when you're going to have to be able to stand on your own, and God will miraculously let you be nurtured by the body all around you, but there comes a time when you've got to find your own prayer, and you've got to find your own area of strength, and you've got to find your own giftedness and your own area of ministry. And all that has to happen, which all of these things cannot exist in your life without a dynamic prayer life. I cannot overemphasize prayer. Every major character in the scripture has a prayer life. Every one of them walks into the presence of God. They all are intimate with God in contacting him personally. And you understand how that is, and it makes so much sense here in the natural. You cannot have a potent and a vibrant relational experience without contact, without communication. You can't do that in a husband and wife relationship. You surely can't do that in your relationship with God. So then prayer becomes extremely important in terms of the intimacy that we have with God, but it also becomes a dynamic in that you are charged again and filled again. You receive the Holy Ghost in praise and in prayer. That's how you are filled again, in praise and in prayer. And it's got to be bigger than just church on Sunday morning, church on Sunday night, and church on Wednesday night. Somewhere you've got to find your own place of opening the portal and stepping through. You've got to find your own place of moving out of the outer court and out of the sanctuary and into the Holy of Holies. If Israel lives only in the outer court and in the holy place or the sanctuary, and Israel never has anybody that goes through the veil and into the Holy of Holies, they are not any longer the people of God, and they will not any longer be redeemed, because the potency of the covenant is inside the Holy of Holies. You've got to make your way in there. It's not enough to have some sort of a religious experience out here. I carry a Bible. I go to church. That's just like being out in the sanctuary. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. You need that. They had to have the altar, and they had to have the candlestick, and they had to have all of the things in the sanctuary. Those things were part of the process. But you can't stop there and think that you've arrived. You can't just show up on a church pew and have it in your past that you were baptized and that you received the Holy Ghost, and that is the end of your growth experience. That's not how God called you or why God called you, and that is not enough to sustain you. An old experience that is not renewed will cause you to fall into the category of the five foolish virgins. When the trump sounds and the Lord comes and the bridegroom is there, it's going to be that you are left, you don't have enough oil, and you can't get in. And these parables are there for us. They're there for a reason. So you got to be refilled and recharged. Does anybody here know the beauty and the power of being recharged on a weekday and in a moment when we're not all together in the corporate gathering? I'll tell you this. This church will not be any stronger than a man or a woman who comes in already on fire and brings the fire and lays it down. And our corporate fire should be bigger than our individual fire, but it'll never be any better than the individual or private prayer life and experience that we have as individuals in our own experience in God. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so I come not to be filled. I don't come to the house of God to be filled again. I don't come to the house of God to be delivered again. I don't come dragging in the door just to come and get another crust of bread from it for another day. But I come already filled up, already charged up, already believing, already knowing. Somebody say amen. That's the will of God. Now that is going to be a revival church. A revival church is bouncing off the walls in their own homes, and then they bring it in. They're not fighting it like cats and dogs and cussing and fussing in their own house, but they're praying and believing together in their own house. And then they bring the strength of God into the house of God. And oh, we can have revival with folks like that. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's good to have a revival church, but there's always a tensional relationship between everything in life. And in that, if you've got a dynamic revival church, it's easy to get lazy. It's easy to get lazy because somebody else is praying, somebody else is calling the fire down. When we walk in the house, man, it's happening, it's moving, people are worshiping, people are getting the Holy Ghost, but that won't go on long if somebody's not doing it outside and in the house and in their own private circle. Somebody say praise the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've got to get inside the veil. We've got to get the good stuff In that veil is the Shekinah of God. In that veil is what Moses experienced when he came back from Sinai and his head was glowing and they had to put a bag on his head because the people were freaked about it because he was scaring them. He had been so close to the presence of God. Inside the veil is the rod of Aaron, the authority of God that fits a man's hand. Inside the veil is the word of God, the dynamic, unchangeable word of God. When you press in there, the word of God becomes new to you. When you are half backslid without prayer in your life, the word of God doesn't move you anymore. You may be able to speak it, but you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't have that razor's edge. It doesn't have the potency that it had when you were alive in the Spirit of God, because you got to have both. You've got to have spirit and truth. One without the other won't do you much good at all. You can have a shout, but you don't know why you're shouting. That's not going to afford you very much benefit. And you can have the word of God and be dead, dull, and dry, and that's not going to help you. The kingdom of God is about spirit and truth. You've got to have them both. That's going to come to you by pressing through the veil and into the presence of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When they come into the land of Canaan and they finally cross over, God parts Jordan and it's flood time and the waters of Jordan stack up. It's an amazing thing, and God has opened a spiritual dynamic there for them to be delivered out of Egypt and for them to make their way into promise. There is a breaking of a spiritual dynamic in all the major experiences you have in your life in God. Something, it was more than just a revolution and people walking physically out of Egypt. There was a spiritual dynamic that was opened. And when those waters parted, that teaches you about the opening of a spiritual dynamic. The same thing happens when they walk into promise and the Jordan parts. And water is always a type of the Spirit. There's a spiritual breaking there for them to walk in. There has to be a spiritual breaking for you to walk into the full orbed promise of God. It's not enough to be delivered out of Egypt. Now we've got to have another moving of the Spirit to get us into the full orbed promise of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're delivered. I'm glad you don't smoke and drink and run around with bow-legged women and cuss and fuss. And I'm glad you don't live in the bar room or the crack house. And I'm glad you got all that settled and you're not doing that anymore. But come on, let's go. We're going to live in a wilderness if we just come out. We've got to go in. We've got to go into promise. And to do that, you've got to have the moving of the Spirit of God and the dynamic shift of the Spirit. Now, when that happened, he said, I want you to take 12 stones up out of the riverbed from the place where the priest's feet are standing, and I want you to build a memorial at Gilgal, because your children are going to ask, what do these stones mean? And you're going to be able to tell them we were prisoners in Egypt and God delivered us, and tell them about the whole Exodus, and you're going to be able to demonstrate the deliverance of God to your children who were not there to witness it. But he said also in that story, the word of God says that they also put 12 stones in the riverbed. Stacked them up. And when the waters closed back over, there was a memorial in the invisible and a memorial in the visible. And there is always, for every memorial in the visible, for every victory in the visible, for every achievement in the visible, for every revival in the visible, there's always an invisible memorial. There's always somebody that went down into the waters, down into the depth of the Spirit, and built a memorial there. Nothing happens in the Spirit without prayer or prophecy. Everything happens by prayer or by prophecy. That's what the word of God is. That's what we do. And they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And the prophets of old were filled with the Spirit and they prophesied. And when they were eulogizing David, the last thing they said about David is, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Those things, prayer and prophecy, are tremendously emphasized in the Scripture. And that's where we stand tonight. We've got to have something in our lives that is breathed in us by the Spirit of God that has the capacity to overshadow and overcome the natural circumstances that we find ourselves in and the enemies that come against us, because we don't wrestle. And we're going to get into this in this sixth chapter. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And we need spiritual power. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We're going to quit here in a little because it's just time to go break bread. So we're going to have to learn how this new schedule works here on Wednesday night. But I want you to look at what Israel did. Israel came out of Egypt by the power of God. They had seen God crush Pharaoh and crush Pharaoh's culture and his godless nation. They had seen the plagues. They saw the tower of fire and cloud. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw Pharaoh's army covered up by the waters. All of that has typology for us here tonight. But you would think after seeing all of that, they would be so very in tune with God. Moses goes to the mountain. He's there for about 40 days, and they get tired of waiting. They still have a pharaohic mindset. They need a pharaoh in their lives to tell them what to do. And so they tell Aaron, make us some gods. And so Aaron collects gold. And this is the way Aaron told Moses. He said, we threw it in the fire and out came this calf. Well, if it happened just like that, there's something else working there beside the hand of a man. But I don't know how to really, how that went down exactly. But they had a god that was a tower, a fire and cloud that led them out of Egypt. It was so monumental that a camp of 1 million people, which is like the metro area of Birmingham, could see that cloud and all move when the cloud began to move. It was a monument to the presence of God. They had seen all these miracles. And I won't reiterate all the miracles. They had seen all these miracles. And in the end, they wanted a God that would fit in a suitcase. They wanted a God that they could see and they could identify in the natural, that they could control in the natural, that they could haul around in the natural and leave behind if they wanted in the natural. There's something insidious about your flesh that is afraid of a genuine move of God, that is afraid to get really, really close to God. Because I don't know about you, but every time I get really close to him, he keeps wanting to change me. He wants me to leave something behind. He keeps saying, all right, come on up to the next level. I can hear Larry Booker saying, what level do you want to play at? Like a video game. And God's asking the same thing. What level do you want to play at? Every time we get into his presence, he's saying, come on up higher. Let me show you something else. He's so excited about what he's doing, about who he is and what he has, just like you are. When you get something really good, you want to show your kids and you're like, ah. And a lot of times we're deflated because we get some wonderful thing for our kids and our kids want to play with the box more than they want to play with the thing. But God wants to call us up to the next level and bring us up to a higher level of experience in the kingdom of God. And there's something about your flesh that wants to find stasis, that wants to find stability, that wants to find a place where nothing changes. We work so hard to do that. We work so hard. We build houses. We nail down the edges of our lives. We want stability. Everybody does. But life is dynamic and fluid. And they're going to move the cheese. And the house is going to fall one day. And the boards are going to rot. And the paint has to be put on again. We just keep on having to maintain these natural things and work on these natural things. And sometimes people want a God like they can control, like that little golden god they made at Sinai. But Moses is on the top of the mountain. And you know they could have all gone up there? There was an open invitation, but they said, whoa. They said, Moses, you go up there. And he went up there by himself, except Aaron went up part of the way. But there's something about your flesh that doesn't want to get too close to God. So then daily pursuit of spirituality and prayer and devotion is like swimming upstream, not only against the world around us and the spiritual powers around us, but also against our own flesh. There's distraction when you try to pray. There's actual literal spiritual pressure when you try. Because the devil knows what a praying church can do. The devil knows what a praying man can do. The devil knows what a praying mama can do. And he wants to press against you. So we've just got to get a mindset. This scripture is the opening of a whole discussion about spiritual warfare and spiritual dynamics. And it starts with the mandate, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want you to know the first instance, the rudimentary experience that's going to bring you to that strength in the Lord and in the power of his might is a robust and a regular and a faithful prayer life. It's going to be a place where you wake up, you get involved, you get plugged up with this. God's going to be waking you up at 2 and 3 in the morning. He is. Don't you find it? That's one of the reasons the flesh doesn't want to get too close. I know I start praying, God's going to be waking. And then he's going to call me to fast. Oh, my goodness gracious. He's going to say, 7 days is not that long. But you know how it was when we first prayed through, man. We were knocking out 7-day, 14-day fasts. It's like, and then break it with a fried seafood platter from Don's Seafood. Of course, then we had stomachs like 10 cans, you know. Praise God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power. Don't be afraid. Whatever God plants in you, draws out of you, breaks off of you in prayer, it's going to be good for you and good for the kingdom. I want to draw closer to him. How about you? Let's stand together. Why don't we come down around the altar together tonight? Would you do that? If you would, just come on down, but come with somebody. I'm sorry to go a little bit over. We're going to go and break bread here in a moment, but let's come down if you're in couples or if you've got family or you just got friends or just adopt somebody or come on down close. And let's press in tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Don't wait for the music. Don't wait for somebody else. Just go ahead and start pressing in. Praise God. God, we're going to call on you. God, we're going to knock on your door. God, we're going to call on your name again here. Here I am again. Lord God, I want to touch you and I want to be touched by you. Here I am again, oh God. God, I want to know you better than I've ever known you. God, I want to walk in your spirit. I don't want a Sunday only experience, and I don't want a little God in a suitcase. I want a God that can shake a mountain. I want a God that can change a city. I want a God that can deliver a man. I need a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. I need a big God tonight. I need a mighty God tonight. God, we don't have any strength. We don't know what to do, but you know. You're strong to show yourself strong for those that are in need. Ah, blessed be the name above every name. Blessed be the name above every name. Glory to the name above every name. Ah, hallelujah. Tisatava no lo yore na halara. Ey, giatondo lo monde le bisi sendre na lahara. Ale ale na patu sondolo corre na halara. E atapata sedre nangara la batu sondolo yore na par. Ede peci sondolo borolo no mangara la papatata si sedre la ya. Glory, 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 glory to God. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I lift you, Lord. I magnify you. I bless your name, oh God. You're a good God and worthy and worthy. And we bless you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, and we magnify you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 You let that Holy Ghost flow through you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.